All right, how are we doing? Oh, some of us are at church this morning. How are we doing? Oh, we are going to have some fun today. It's going to be weird. I got a tree. We'll get to that in a second. It's going to be fine. We're going to pray through it together. All right. Hey, if you're here for the very first time, first of all, welcome. My name is Sam Peckett. I'm one of the teaching pastors here on staff. If you're joining us online, we are one church. We are one body. We are one worshiping community seeking God desperately. And today is no different. I am excited for today. Are you ready? If you are ready, say, I am ready. Here we go. We have arrived. All right. Really quick, some self-deprecation. You're welcome. I used to have wings in high school and college. Here's what I mean. I don't think describing it to you would do it justice. So I dove back into the terror that is Facebook through the years, and I dug up this wonder. Yeah, look at that. The shirt says it all, doesn't it? I don't know what happened, but have you ever looked back through like old pictures or like right as you're about to fall asleep? And then you have all of the highlight reels, like the worst moments of your life, and you're just sitting in like one big pool of cringe. You know what I'm talking about? Or, you know, you're just upset at things that you did, things that you never thought that you would ever do, and you're like, oh yeah, that actually happened. This is sort of what that picture was for me going back. And I look back and I think, why? Why didn't I change something sooner? Because, I mean, like, why? Why didn't I change something? Because it could have turned out so differently, because when I actually did make that change, it got better. Like, she's seen with me in public now. Back then, I don't know. She's here today. Please don't ask her. It'll make me sad. But one thing I'm also learning is that these moments, they really never go away, right? There was, in fact, one that I discovered the last couple of weeks that was new for me. All my life, I've been pretty thin, and I've been really unable to gain any weight, and some of you hate me right now, but stay with me. It meant that I could literally eat anything, and I would just be fine, and people always used to tell me, like, oh, one day it'll catch up to you, right? One day it's all going to come back and bite you in the butt, and then it's going to stay there for a while. You know what I'm talking about? And it was in the last couple weeks that I realized that them saying that wasn't just like weird life advice of like caution. I believe that they were putting some sort of weird curse on me. Because a few weeks ago, I was wearing shorts, I was making lunch in the kitchen, and I dropped something, and these are shorts that I've had for years, right? They're good shorts, and I had them on, and I bent down to pick up something, and my button popped and flew down the front hallway. And I just stayed there for a minute, hearing it skitter across the floor. And I'm sitting there going, all right, this is different. And then shortly after that, I had to go out and buy an all new set of pants because I couldn't fit into my old ones anymore. And now even those are getting a little tight. But that's the thing about change, right? Like, as I'm sitting there, right, just going, I'm not about this kind of change. But I'm sitting there and I had sort of this flash forward moment in my mind of going, looking back and going, why didn't I change it sooner? Why didn't I change it sooner? But that's the thing about change, right? Everybody's all for change until change actually happens, right? Why? Because change is disruptive, it is difficult, and I think this is the biggest reason, change is different. We don't really like different, don't we, right? And we've discovered that we really don't like different over the last like 7 or 8 months. And I think that by and large, change in our life has often led to pain or it's led to a pause on our life plans, right? And so there's this negative connotation that we have to change in our lives, but we're looking back right now at the things that have happened in this season, or perhaps maybe more appropriately, the rule and reign of COVID. And I think there are some moments that we replay in our head and we go, why didn't I do something sooner? Which brings us to something incredibly important. We're coming out of a series called Running on Empty, where we were able to identify, address, and recover from many of the symptoms and realities of running on empty in our lives today, and we learned how to fill back up. But, and here's an important but, everybody say but. You said it in church. If we don't look at what caused us to get into that spot in the first place, then all we're doing is making the behavior of emptying ourselves constantly okay. It turns into behavioral modification instead of a heart transformation that prevents us from getting into that spot in the first place. So if we have to take it a step further and dive down deeper into the root issues of our lives. What if we address the things in our lives that would lead to growth that makes it harder and harder and harder for us to empty ourselves completely? Like, we are so focused on filling up, it comes so naturally to us that we don't often find ourselves pouring out to empty. What would that look like? So let's ask this question. What brought us here? What brought us here? What led us to running on empty? The easy answer is COVID, right? The Rona. We can always point to something though at any point in our life and say, Rona made me do it, right? We always have those kind of situations, right? She made me do it. No. You ate the whole tub of ice cream. That's on you, right? The answer is easy sometimes, right? But we know that's only partly true, right? Situations are only partly true because no matter what happens in our lives, we have the ability to evaluate and respond, and that skill comes from something deep inside of us. So what brought us here? The answer is this. The reason we found ourselves running on empty is because within our humanity, we have hurts and habits that we need help with to heal. Within our humanity, we have hurts and habits that we need help with to heal. Okay, stick with me. Because somebody needs to hear this this morning. Within this answer, we find two truths, a reality and an opportunity. The reality is being human, it's hard, right? We know that. It's just hard sometimes because sometimes life just sucks, doesn't it? And you're not perfect. But the opportunity, being human is being capable of change. Right? Yeah, you're not perfect. You're not God. God doesn't change because he is perfect. We're not God, but it does mean that we are capable of change to become more like God. Our circumstances don't have to define our reactions anymore. We have the opportunity to change something inside of us that will change what happens when outside impacts us. So right now, you have the opportunity to commit to something greater, commit to something transformative, something revolutionary in our lives, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, and it's going to hurt sometimes. It just is, because we're going through these same steps as staff right now, and it is difficult. It is difficult, but it's going to be better, because we're not going to end up back where we were at when we were running on empty. We're not going to end up back there because we know that we are made for more, because we know that we're not doing it alone anymore. So today, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to bring about in each of our lives changes that heal. Are you ready for changes that heal? Then let's dive in together. We're going to pray first and start it out right. God, thanks for today. Thanks for what you've done, what you're going to continue to do in and through this place. God, I ask that you would speak loudly to us this morning. That God, the words I say would not be mine, but they would be yours. God, direct our lives in a way that plants a seed in our heart, that launches us to transformation, launches us to freedom, to discover something new about you. God, if I say something that's not of you this morning, let it fade away. But if you're speaking to us today, God, help us. Help us hear it in a way that we just can't ignore. God, let it impact our lives. We pray all these things in the powerful, resurrected name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so how do we do this? What does it look like to implement changes that heal instead of just changing for change's sake, right? Well, let's think about it for a second. Look at your home, the home that you live in, whatever it is, apartment, house, whatever. As you're doing life day in and day out, you're investing time, you're investing energy, you're investing money, because let's be honest, homes are not cheap. And for those of you who frequent Hobby Lobby, you know who you are. You're also investing double. I see those receipts. You know who you are. But no matter what we're doing, no matter what we're investing in, all of a sudden, it's all surface level, right? It's all what we want to see. It's all what we want to feel. But then one day as we look up, as we're walking down the hallway, we start to see some cracks forming up above, right? And then we're continuing to invest time, energy, money. But no matter how much we do that, no matter how often we do that, the cracks start to get bigger and they start to spread. The issue is not in the drywall. The issue is not what you bought with Hobby Lobby and now you're going to go back to get something different to cover up the bigger cracks. That's not the solution. The answer, the issue is in the foundation. If we're going to get to the root of meaningful change in our life that will bring healing, we first have to look at and build the foundation first. So today, we're going to build a foundation for the next 4 weeks. Today, we are going to build the foundation that will allow us to be successful in connecting relationally, in setting boundaries, in processing through pain. And as we become adults, like real life adults, we're going to grow up together over the next 4 weeks. And to do this, I want to start off by looking at a letter that was written by the Apostle John as sort of like this open and untitled letter to help Christians walk back to their foundation of their faith and their life in a very practical way. So together, we're going to turn to the book of 1 John. And if you have paper here today or your smartphone or wherever you're taking notes or online on your computer or you're watching on your TV, go grab a piece of paper really quick. I want us to write down something on paper or in your phone or tablet or whatever it is. And it's just blank, leave it blank, plus blank, plus blank. Three blanks equals a foundation for healing. It's going to be very simple. It's going to be very practical. But we're going to talk about each of these blanks and what it means for our lives. Blank plus blank plus blank equals a foundation for healing. So pull open your Bible to 1 John, and that's 1 John, not just John. It's way back in the back of your Bibles. It's after 2 Peter, before 2 and 3 John, and don't get too far or else you're going to start singing, "Hey Jude," and then you're going to have a revelation. Look at the table of contents. That's funny. All right. Thank you. Pity laugh. So the Apostle John, all right? And remember, this is an apostle. It is a disciple who was sent. A disciple who was sent. An apostle is a disciple who is acting on their faith. And he is writing to help guide Christians back to the core foundation of their faith and their lives because they got distracted by a bunch of different things and it was leaving them confused and running on empty. And it's to them that he writes this. Check it out in chapter 1, verse 1. We're all going to pull up our Bibles together, keep each other accountable, not just take my word for it, but say, God, did you actually say the things we're talking about today? If so, what does that mean for my life moving forward? So in our Bibles, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, here we go. That which was heard from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. And we've seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Pause. Listen, in a world right now that is so focused on containment, right? It's everything that we're talking about COVID. We want to contain. We have to be a church. We have to be a body. We have to be a people that's so focused on spreading, right? But here's the catch. We can't spread what we haven't caught. So together, we're going to dive into the gospel today. We're going to unpack what it means for our life practically moving forward. So John opens up his letter in a way that leaves absolutely no room for margin. No margin for error in understanding who Jesus is and what his purpose was in this life on earth. Jesus came to give life freely. Jesus is life. Jesus brought life to the full. He says we know this to be true because of our faith community that we have, because it's constantly supported through community, community that is grounded in the testimony of Jesus and those who did life with him. It's dependent on the unity of those who follow him and the community that is renewed daily through the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us because of the work of the Word of Life, that is Jesus. He says it's on this fact, it's on the gospel, this truth, that this reality, that everything that we hear today is true. Because of all of that, he says this in verse 5, this is the message in light of all of that we've heard from him and declare to you, the message is this: God is light. Say that with me. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. And that's hard to hear, isn't it? Like, that's really blunt. And it's a really, really long and blunt way of saying our lives, our word, our actions, our thoughts, they directly reveal our true or our broken relationship with Jesus. John points out what we learned from the very beginning, that sin, which is just a word that says it's an action. It's an action. It's a decision. It's choosing something above and against what God said is a better way to live life. We see what it is. We go, no, I'm going to do it this way instead. That's sin. It separates us from relationship with God. We just know that to be true, don't we? Right? We see it all over the pages of Scripture. And it's this reality that's part of our foundation moving forward. In the first box, we have truth. The first box is truth. This is undeniable fact. This is things that are just true in our life. We can't argue with it. But stay with me. This is just part one. Yeah, it's hard to hear. It's necessary, but it's hard. But the story's not done yet. John is just setting it up for something revolutionary in our lives. Check it out. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says this. He writes, my dear children, I write this to you. It's hard to hear, but I'm writing it to you so that you will not sin. But, and everybody say but. If anybody does sin, that's an important but. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. The truth is that everybody's fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and have been separated from the Father. So thank God for grace. And that's box number two, truth plus grace. Truth plus grace. Grace is undeserved, unearned mercy in spite of our shortcomings and our failures. Grace is the cross backed by the empty tomb. And if you're keeping track, we're 2 for 3 right now. So what's the last box? The third key for a foundation for healing. Listen, this is why it's so important to study Scripture, not just read it. Check it out. Part of the context of this passage is that it was a letter written to the Gentiles. Everybody say Gentiles. That's a group of people who is outside of the Jewish nation. So it was originally written in Greek. And looking at this passage in Greek, there's something unique that stands out about a few of these words. If you've been around the church or any Christian for any amount of time, we're almost always pointing to a moment, right? The moment that somebody accepts Jesus for the first time. In our testimonies and our stories, we point back to that moment. And with others, we hope for that moment, right? We have sort of made Christianity all about this single moment, but that's just not true. That's just not true. When we look at a lot of these verbs in these 12 verses, we see words like this. We see walk, forgive, purify, confess. And while these words in our English language indicate a finite action or instance, a moment of action, that's not the contextual meaning. These words in the original language have an ongoing, engaging process that's attached to them. So look again at verse 7. It would sound something more like this with a direct translation. If we continue to walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, continues to purify us from all sin. It's an ongoing process as a journey. And this points to our third foundational element. Everybody write this down. It's time. Time. Truth plus grace plus time is a foundation for healing. But listen, don't miss this. Oftentimes I think we hear grace and truth and now time, and most often we think of others. Like, I'm going to give grace to this person, or I'm going to speak truth into their lives, or I'm going to give them time to grow. But we have to start way before that. Right? If we go there, we have no foundation to build on. We have to start with ourselves first. Somebody needs to hear this today. You have to start speaking truth into your life today. You have to start giving grace to yourself today. You have to give yourself time right now to grow starting today. And that sounds great, but what does that actually look like? Well, we're going to head back to the book of Luke, one of the four biographies of Jesus' life here on earth that kick off the New Testament for us. And Luke records a moment where Jesus is talking to a group of people about what it looks like for them to find eternal life, to have eternal life, and starting today, and what it's going to cost them to do that, what it would take for them to do that. And in that context, he tells this parable. And a parable is just a story that's told to communicate a deeper meaning in a way that his original audience would better understand and relate to. So he's going to tell a story with a deeper meaning. Check it out. Chapter 13, Luke 13, verse 6. Turn that together. He says this. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his yard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any, so cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year and I'll dig around it, I'll fertilize it, and if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then I'll cut it down. And this is a big moment because Jesus is talking about what John was writing about over in 1 John, or maybe the other way around. 1 John was writing about what Jesus was talking about in the first place, but where our actions directly indicate the current status of our relationship with Jesus and the condition of our heart. That's what's happening on the inside determines what's happening on the outside. But what does that look like? Well, what does the caretaker do? Listen, I know nothing about plants. Plants come to me to die, okay? I have not successfully kept a plant alive by myself in the entirety of my life. I know nothing, all right? And so this isn't even mine, and I'm not 100% sure if this is real or fake. So we're just going to use this, okay? But I had to do a lot of research, but we're going to start with what little I did know, and that's fertilizer. So he committed to fertilizing it. What does that mean? Fertilizer. And that time especially, but now even today, as Google says, I love Google, says often and majority the manure of various animals. Yeah. Here's the reality with truth, especially like the way that the 1 John passage sounds, right? Sometimes truth just feels like crap, doesn't it? Sometimes it just feels like crap. But the fertilizer made from poo, it carries with it an essential nutrient, or natural chemicals, and here's the key word, it's all for sustainable, healthy growth. Even though it feels like crap sometimes, it carries with it things that we need to hear, sit in, and take in that are necessary for sustainable, healthy growth. What does that look like in our lives? Well, here at Northern Hills Church, we want to be real. We want to be vulnerable. It's not something that we say, it's something that we do. We know it's okay not to be okay, but we also know that it's okay. It's not okay to stay that way. So we need to grow. And so here's some realities of truth that I have in my own life that needed to or have been spoken into my life even recently. Maybe you can relate to some of these. Just check these out. These hit hard for me. How about this one? Hey, when your passion goes unchecked and doesn't take into account others around you, you're not leading, you're bulldozing. So be cognizant of those around you and their own stories and their journeys. Or how about this one? Hey, the words that you said, however true, they were not said well or at the right time, and it caused more damage than it ever did good. Or hey, you're not actually really gifted in that specific area, and because you continue to lean into it, you're creating a lid or a cap for those who are trusting you and looking for you to lead. Or how about this one? Hey, I noticed you become really angry and abrasive. How's your time been with Jesus? Oh, it hadn't been happening? Well, hey, sounds like you need to make it a priority and maybe say no to some things so you can say yes to the right things. And truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? We know this to be true, though. Whenever you tell somebody hard truth and then just peace out, it often does more harm than it ever does good, right? Which is why truth always comes with grace. Truth always comes with grace. So which is the next thing that we can see in the story? The next thing that he committed to was digging around the tree, which for me, not knowing anything about plants, sounded like a terrible idea. Like it's already planted, it's already growing. Why are you digging? That seems counterintuitive. But it turns out it's actually pretty incredible. And some of you guys are going like, well, yeah, duh, this makes sense. I don't know. So when you dig around the soil, it loosens it up in a way that, number one, allows the roots to grow further out and further down. So it becomes more grounded, it becomes more rooted, it becomes more solid. So when the winds blow, when the storms hit, it doesn't just tip over, it doesn't just fall over, doesn't uproot itself. But number two, it also allows for water to better travel through and be absorbed by the roots. The things that it needs to survive, the things that it needs for nourishment, the things that it needs to thrive, digging around it allows for deeper roots that can absorb more. And when we apply this concept to our own lives, it looks like grace. Grace, listen, is digging around our lives to allow us space to grow and absorb that which we need to survive and thrive. When we don't have grace, we are confined. We are fighting for life. We're unable to reach out or to go deeper. But when we have grace on our lives in growth, we have room to breathe for the very first time. We can go deeper. We can reach out. We can drink from the well that never runs dry. We can hear truth spoken into our lives and take what we need out of it without getting defensive and hostile towards the potential healing that's in front of us. Where in your life do you need grace? Where do you need to loosen up the soil around you that's been so restricting that you feel like you just can't move anymore? Where do you need to grow? Where you feel like you've been trying, but you keep hitting this barrier over and over again. What do you need in your life today to break through that barrier, to make room to grow? Maybe for you, it could look something like this. Maybe it is as simple as the fact that you've been really, really interested in playing an instrument or maybe learning a craft or diving into a specific subject, but you don't because you know that you're just not going to be good at it right away. Grace is allowing yourself the space to grow in it, even though failure happens. Or let's just be honest, grace is understanding that you don't have to be perfect at something to love it. Maybe for you, it's painting and drawing. And if you're anything like me, and my stick figures look fat, like I'm just not good at it. But that's not the point. Does it give you life? Then give yourself grace. Or maybe it's starting a small business that you, it's been on your heart and you feel called to do, but you keep asking yourself, what if I fail? What if it doesn't look like what I think it's gonna look like? What if I never actually get it off the ground? What if it all tanks? Grace is recognizing that failure is not the end of the story, but a tool used for growth. Listen to me, somebody needs to hear this right now. Success and failure, they're not the final chapter. They're just supporting actors. Your story is still being written regardless of your successes or your failures. Success and failure aren't final chapters, they're supporting actors. Maybe for you, it's learning to pray with your spouse, and this is like 100% me too. All right, for you, it might be, gosh, I don't know how to pray. What if I pray wrong? Or maybe it's just so awkward. I mean, I'm barely comfortable praying by myself. That seems a little weird. Now I'm bringing in another person. That's even weirder. Or maybe it's even, what if it doesn't work? What if we pray together and it all falls apart still? Grace is addressing it ahead of time. Looks like this. Hey, this is something that I'd really like to do together more often, but it freaks me out a little bit because for some reason it just feels weird. It's not you. I just don't know what's going on in my heart. Would you be willing to try it with me and encourage us to keep this rhythm in our marriage so that we can continue to thrive? It's giving grace to yourself to ask that question, to call it out. Or maybe it's just reading scripture, like straight up. You have the 30-day plan. You've been doing so good for 4 days, and then you miss day 5, and you're like, all right, I'll catch up tomorrow. Then day 6 happens, and then day 7, and now it's a new week. Well, why bother? Because I'm just going to mess it up again. No. Consistency is not the goal. Communion is the goal. Listen to me. This is so important. Consistency doesn't lead to communion. Communion leads to consistency. Do you see the difference? Consistency doesn't lead to communion. Communion leads to consistency. It's not only when I get to day 5 again, God's going to meet me there. No, grace is God meets us on however many day ones we have in our life, over and over and over again. And then we develop the drive, the desire to turn day 1 into day 2 and then 2 into 3. And it's communion over consistency. But here's the other part of it too. Jesus, his story that he told, the parable, he said, yeah, we're going to give it a year. It's not going to last forever. And for us, it's not going to last forever if we're stuck and unwilling to grow. Why? Because Jesus, he's coming back, right? Jesus is coming back. What if we lived like it was today? How would that change our lives? But let me be so clear right now. Jesus' story, while saying, yeah, it's not going to last forever if we're stuck and we're unwilling to grow. Jesus is not a part of cancel culture. He's not. We look at the things around us right now in this season, and if they aren't giving us what we want or we need, if we think it's wrong or it's just weird, or if we don't understand it and think it's not worth our time, it's canceled in our lives, isn't it? That's just the way we operate. Truth. Jesus has every right to cancel us. He does. Grace. Jesus doesn't. No matter how rough we are. So what does Jesus say for our lives? He acknowledges that growth and healing becomes something that bears good fruit. It's going to take time no matter what actions are taken. And we just know that's true, right? I mean, our entire lives revolve around making things faster and more efficient. I mean, listen, y'all, who has an air fryer? I learned this week that I can make pancakes in half the time in an air fryer and then clean it out and make a steak in 2 minutes. That's awesome. Right? I want an air fryer. We have an Instant Pot. We also have a crock pot and a toaster oven and a microwave and you did all these different things. What? I don't need that many. I want the air fryer and I want the Instant Pot done. All right? But listen, that's not a bad thing to say I don't have time for all these. Listen, it's okay to desire things to go fast. We have the technology and the ability to create things that allow us to be more efficient with our time and our energy. So let's embrace it. But listen, don't miss this. Here's where we go wrong. It's when we apply the Instant Pot mentality to something that was never meant to be cooked, but rather meant to be grown. Our lives, our faith, our recovery, our health is made up of processes. And if we know that if we rush it, it just goes bad pretty quick, doesn't it? I mean, how many of y'all were like, oh, I can't wait to be an adult that my parents don't tell me what to do all the time and I can spend all my money however I want. And then you get to be an adult and you're like, oh, adulting and bills and responsibility. And then your knees and your back hurt for no reason at all. And you're sitting there going, I want to be a kid again. Right? I feel that way. I'm only 27. Biggest encouragement I got is it all goes downhill from here. Thanks. Or have you ever tried to get in shape really, really fast and ignore the process of building muscle? It can literally kill you. It's called rhabdomyolysis. So your body breaks down the muscles and sends it all through your kidneys all at once, and it overloads it, sending you into kidney failure. Well, what happens when somebody quits smoking cold turkey? There's major mental, emotional, physical ramifications for doing so. Is it a great idea? Absolutely. But it's a process. When we take a look at our growth, we must recognize that it will take time. It's going to take time. And time from the moment we decide to grow, not from the moment it went wrong, right? 3 years he went to the tree, nothing came. So he gave it another year. That's a long time. It's going to take time. We can't just dig and we can't just dump. And the worst thing we could do is dig, dump, and dip, right? Like, it's just not going to work that way. These actions are an ongoing, continual process, not a one and done. As we dive into the next 4 weeks and explore changes that heal in our lives, we're going to be confronted with areas that we want to fix right now. We want to get it over with. We want to move on because it's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. But life doesn't work like that. We need to allow ourselves time to grow. We face areas in our lives that we feel inflexible in, but we need to allow grace. We need to face areas that we need to hear truth in. As we dive into Scripture and the Holy Spirit and the words of others, and it may hurt. It's probably going to hurt. But find the sustainable truths that are going to bring us life enough to thrive, not just survive. And some of us are seeing the cracks in the wall right now. We're seeing that the dirt around us that we're planting in is starting to look more like clay than dirt, right? But no matter what we've been doing a lot, right? That's why we're running on empty. We're doing it over and over and over again, and we're seeing more and more cracks form. We see less and less fruit. Maybe it's time to stop doing all those things. And instead, we got to look at our foundation. We got to start over, and that's okay. Embracing truth plus grace plus time, because the foundation for healing is not going to be simple, but it is going to be better. Because no matter what else we do through the series, no matter how much we're talking about connecting relationally or building boundaries or processing pain or becoming an adult, all of it's just going to be a behavioral modification instead of true transformation if we don't have a foundation, if what we're planted in isn't figured out. We'll just be right back here in another couple of years, maybe another couple of months, or maybe a couple of weeks. So the question is, do you want changes or do you want changes that heal? Let the truth be spoken into your life. Receive it with grace and give yourself grace, and then give yourself time it takes to grow. So here's what we're going to do. It's going to be very, very practical. Write these three words down. We're going to identify, we're going to commit, we're going to define. We're going to identify, we're going to commit, and we're going to define. Here's what this looks like. We're going to identify right now because we already have it in the back of our head. We're trying to push it out. We say, no, I don't need to grow there. We do. If you're thinking about that, that's the place you need to grow in, right? But just one, because sometimes we can be so overwhelmed with everything around us. Pick the one thing in your life right now that you need truth and grace and time in. And maybe it looks like, man, you've been speaking truth into that area of your life, but right now you're so unmotivated because you've been beating yourself down with the truth and never giving yourself grace to grow. Or maybe you've just given nothing at all. We've been ignoring it, pushing it in a corner. Or maybe we've just given it time and nothing else, and now it's procrastinating. We're like, oh yeah, I meant to work on that like 6 years ago. What is that thing for you? We're going to identify that thing. We're going to give it truth and grace and time. And we're going to commit right now out loud to yourself during this next song, saying, I'm committing to giving this area truth and grace and time in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? I will commit to giving truth and grace and time to this area of my life in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever that is during this next song, right? But here's the deal. You also need to define. Define truth in your life, meaning this. We know truth is the gospel. We know truth of Jesus. Truth, where are you going to find it? Where is it going to be spoken into you? Who are you going to trust to surround yourself? How often are you going to dive into truth to let it be spoken into you? Because listen, we don't read the Bible to get through it. We read it to get through us, right? We're going to read scripture to let truth be spoken into our lives. What is that going to look like? Put a timetable, put the people that you're going to surround yourself with to speak truth into your life. We're going to define truth. We're going to define grace. Where and how do you need grace? Looking like this. Hey, this area, it's going to be hard. I'm going to grow. But when this happens, that's okay because I know I'm going to fail and I know it's going to take some time, but I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to fail here maybe once, twice, three, maybe 500 times, but I'm going to keep coming back. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to give myself grace to try again. Where are those areas, the things that you've been looking at in your life, maybe you've tried over and over and over again, but because you failed so many times, you're like, it's not even worth it. That's grace in that area. And then time. We're going to define time because listen, 3 years, no fruit. He identified the problem and he gave it a time. What is too little to where you're going to feel pressure and you're not going to do it? Or you're setting yourself up for failure, but then how long is too long to where it's just become another thing we're procrastinating? I'll get to it eventually. Set the time limit for you. Truth, grace, time, foundation for healing. Nothing else that we talk about is going to matter at all if we don't have those three things. Truth plus grace plus time. Because here's the deal. We, in some of our areas that we've identified, we might feel that that area is just dead in our life. Like, we're just going to get through life. We're not going to worry about it anymore. It's just going to be over there. That's not how God works. Our God is a God of resurrection. Our God is a God of restoration. Our God is a God of rejuvenation. Let him in to that area. Let him resurrect the dead parts of us. Let our dry bones walk again. Will you do that? Will you commit today during this next song? Let's pray and let's worship. God, thanks for this day. What you've done, what you're going to continue to do in and through this place. God, identify in our hearts the area that we most need to grow right now. God, it may not be the biggest area of our lives, but it's the most important right now. And God, help us to have truth and grace and time, not just one or the other. But God, help us to grow, help us to heal, because we've tried doing a lot of different things and it's just not working and we're slowly killing ourselves. God, help us find healing in these changes. God, we want to find you in the midst of it all because we know that you're the only one who can bring us healing in our lives. So God, give us the grace, the humility, and the wisdom to press forward, to identify, to commit right now to you, to work on these things in truth and grace and time. But God, help us with clarity in what those look like. Because Jesus, we know that on the other side of these changes is healing. And that's what we've been fighting for. That's what we have been longing for. And God, help us to find it now. Help us to step into it. God, we want to meet you there. God, we're asking for resurrection in our lives. And God, we're praying expectantly, knowing that you're going to show up. God, we love you, we praise you, we pray all these things and more in the powerful, resurrected name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's worship together.
Thanks for checking out this week's message. If you'd like to get involved here at Northern Hills, check out our website at inhills.org or download the Northern Hills app. We hope to see you again soon.